www.ccc.org.
So get your gloves, your boots, your friends, family, and coworkers, and join us on Saturday, September 15th at 9 a.m.
Stonewall Alliance hosts its annual Chico Pride August 23rd through the 26th, and it's jam-packed with LGBTQIA2S+ and ally events. This year, we're focused on sustainability, so bring a water bottle to fill at our events and use the free bike valet service. From a Queer Justice is Racial Justice art event to our DJ dances for teens and adults, star-studded variety show, Maltese after party, and huge downtown festival, to a free catered community brunch in Bidwell Park with story time for kids, there's something for everyone. Go to StonewallChicoPride.com to volunteer, be part of the fun, and get in for free. Or buy a Pride patron pass and receive free entry to all Pride events, two free drinks, and an exclusive meet and greet with our local and national stars, including Spikey Van Dyke, Diamond Onassis, and so many more. For these and other event details, find us on Facebook or visit www.StonewallChicoPride.com.
You are tuned to listener-supported community radio, 90.1 KZFR in Chico. It's time for The Doctor's In. And we're coming up to The Doctor's In just as soon as we load that baby. Thanks for tuning in today. And we'll be ruling right along here with Dr. Ken Logan.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle, and you're losing the fight. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple, it's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse, don't spill it now. I went to the doctor, doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Oh, I went to the doctor. Oh, I went to the
doctor. Hello, I'm Ken Logan, and you're listening to The Doctor's In. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico, California, and I come on the air the third Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 in the evening to discuss medical and health issues, hopefully issues that you have an interest in hearing about. Speaking of that, if you have an area of medicalness or health that you would like me to discuss on air and have a guest potentially for that subject, please let me know. And how you could do that is by emailing me at klogan.md@yahoo.com. So that's KLOGANMD, that's M as in Mr. D, at yahoo.com. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the opinions of people such as the underwriters for KZFR and the staff or anybody else. They're the opinions of me and the guests that I have on the show. The Doctor's In is made possible by generous contributions of you, the KZFR supporters, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture, producing community festivals and events, including Artoberfest, the True North Tour, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by live juice Live Life Juice Company. Live Life Juice Company, providing locally fresh, cold-pressed juices and elixirs. Find the Live Life Juice Company at Wednesday and Saturday Chico Farmers Markets and at 220 Broadway. Open weekdays from 9 to 7, Saturday from 10 to 5, and Sundays from 10 to 4. More information at livelifejuiceco.com, on Facebook, and at 566-3346. Live Life Juice Company, pure, fresh juice. Drink to your health. Yeah. Today's we're going to be speaking with a guest named Cammie Woodward. And she is a child life specialist. This is a term that I am only now becoming familiar with. And I want you, the listeners, and me, the interviewer, to learn more about what she does, where she does it, and the children that she works with. And I would like us all to welcome Cammie Woodward. Cammie, are you on the line?
I sure am. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for being a guest on the Doctor's Inn today.
Well, thanks for having me.
So I'd like to start by asking you a few little questions. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
So first of all, let's start with, where do you practice? Where do you work?
I work at Kaiser Roseville in the Pediatric Specialties Clinic, and I work primarily in our infusion center there.
Infusion center. Tell us what that means.
So that's where all the pediatric patients go who are going to get some kind of infused medication through an IV. So that's where the oncology patients go, the kids with cancer. And we also have a lot of non-oncology, a lot of patients getting medications for chronic diseases with GI problems, neurology, different things like that. So they're all getting poked and prodded and having to be there for a while.
Gotcha. And I want you to tell us more about about that, and especially about how it is working with children and with various medical conditions that you mentioned there. But I'm just really wanting to know about your job title, and what is your job title?
I'm a certified child life specialist.
So let me say that again. Let me say that again for the listeners, okay? Certified child life specialist. Wow. So please go ahead. Yeah, please tell us what that means.
So basically, in a nutshell, it's a form of counseling for children who are enduring medical experiences. Mm-hmm. So it could be urgent medical problems, being in the hospital. It could be after traumatic events, emotional events, or traumatic injuries. They work in a variety of settings, in pediatric hospitals, obviously in outpatient clinics. They also work in dentist office.
Oh.
There's child life specialist in private practice.
Oh.
So there's kind of a range of things that we do, but the gist is we're focusing on the psychosocial needs of the child.
Uh-huh. And, I'm a family practice doctor, and so I have cared for people of all ages, but I will tell you that and by the way, I'm like not real young. I'm like 65 years old, so I've been around a while. So the idea, in my brain, I hear this, the term child life specialist, and I hear that introduction that you did, that brief introduction you did of what you do with children, and the first thing that comes to my mind is, wow, what a great thing to have, what a great idea.
Right. It really is. It helps so many kids and their entire families as well.
Sure. Yeah. So you work with the parents and other family members as well in what you do. Is that true?
Absolutely. You can't just isolate the child. So we treat the whole family as the patient. It's very much family-centered care.
Uh-huh.
So, obviously we focus on the child, but often they have siblings. Uh-huh. So let's say maybe a child with a new cancer diagnosis. Uh-huh. Part of our job is to teach them and help them understand their diagnosis in an age-appropriate way in terms that they can understand. And we also do that for their siblings as well, because the siblings sometimes get kind of pushed aside and they're scared and they don't know what's going on. So they need that attention as well, and they need to know what's happening. So we work with the siblings and the parents too.
I think of children with some of the diagnoses that you mentioned, which we'll get back to in a minute, but such as cancer or neurologic problems, maybe endocrinologic problems, such as diabetes, variety of significant medical conditions. And then I think, and then which we'll come back to when you're talking to us about what you do and maybe some examples, that kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, you bring up a good point, and that is that, wow, well, what about the parents? And then what about the brothers and sisters, the siblings of these children? They've got to be scared, too.
Absolutely. And depending on their age, sometimes they're just so left out because all the attention is on the patient, on that child who is sick.
Right.
And they don't get any attention, and they're sad, and they're mad, and they're scared, and they don't know what's happening. And oftentimes the images of what they think is happening is so much worse than reality.
Oh,
so
I
when
bet
we,
so.
You know, help them understand what's really going on, usually they do much better and cope better. And also help teach the parents how to include those siblings.
And
make them feel important and special with the time that they have to do so.
Mm-hmm. Let me break back just briefly to the idea of your specialty, your area of expertise, rather, and that is child life specialist. So you said you work at Kaiser, one of the Kaiser facilities in the Roseville area. Is that what you said?
Yes, that's correct.
And so that included in that is inpatient or hospital care, but like you said, also outpatient clinic or office outpatient care. Is that true?
Right, that's correct. And I'm in the outpatient center, and that's where we see kids from kind of a wide geographical area come to that center. It's a big mecca. It's where we have all of the specialists, pretty much every kind of specialty you can imagine for pediatrics is there.
Wow.
So we see a lot of kids on a daily basis and a lot of really sick kids.
And speaking of the word geographical, in the Kaiser Roseville mecca for these kinds of treatments for kids, what is the geographical area of the children? Where do they come from generally? I mean, what's kind of the mix there?
Typically, I would say about an hour in any direction, but we've certainly had kids from Reno, you know, from parts of Nevada, Modesto, as far south as there, as far north as Chico, Vallejo, kind of getting into the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
So they come, some have quite a drive, and some have to do it daily for periods of time.
Wow. It's almost unbelievable to me thinking about this. If it was someone in my, you know, one of my children, and I, for instance, anywhere I lived, but add to the fact of the diagnosis and the treatment that's needed and the age of the child and the other family members, but also then traveling, long travel. It's just a lot to think about.
It is. It just adds one more layer of difficulty, you know, getting to and from, and sometimes they're not feeling well and don't feel like sitting in the car and driving, and that's tough. But of course, some kids do live closer. Some live in that area, and that's great. They have a much shorter, you know, commute to their treatment.
Yeah. So how long have you been in the business of as a child life specialist?
For 21 years.
You have?
I have.
Oh, wow. And would you say that this is a profession or a job that has significantly changed over those 21 years? Has it? I'm just curious again because you're speaking to a doctor who has never heard of this before.
Right.
In Little Chico, right. California.
You know, I think it really has grown and evolved, definitely over the years. It's definitely more prominent on the East Coast than it is on the West Coast. You see a lot more of it there and in other countries. Very big in Canada. That is huge there. But I think you're seeing child life being present in more areas than they used to be. It used to be typically inpatient in the hospital.
Yeah.
Sometimes the emergency room. Uh-huh. Now you see us in NICUs. You see us in radiology departments.
NICU is
the neonatal intensive care.
Neonatal intensive care. So very, very young babies.
Right, very young babies born too soon who are premature. And there, their role typically is working with siblings and helping siblings understand why their baby is in the hospital and why their baby looks different and is hooked up to different things.
Yeah, right. Wow. And then just, again, my nosing around about in your particular Kaiser Roseville area, how many in your co-workers do you have, I'm just curious, who are child life specialists?
Right. We have a pretty small department at Kaiser. We have two who are inpatient and two who are outpatient.
Okay.
We kind of work different schedules to flex our hours to provide the best coverage that we can.
Okay, good. Sure. And Kaiser in Roseville area, is it, as far as inpatient, is it, so the hospital patients, is there a one hospital that is a pediatric hospital, or is this all part of the, of a bigger
Yes, there
hospital?
Actually is. We have a women and children's hospital. So that's where babies are born and women are there, after having their babies, and that's where the neonatal intensive care unit and the pediatrics department is.
Okay, good. That's good to know. I think that's kind of a good good thing. All right. Wow. Please, can you tell me again the can you enumerate the specialty clinics that you participate in the children's care?
My primary focus is our infusion room, so I see most of the oncology patients.
So
I see a lot of kids with infectious diseases getting infusions, a lot of GI patients. I cover quite a bit in our diabetes clinic and our cystic fibrosis clinic as well.
What was the last thing you said?
And I'm part of the pain management team with our neurology department. And I'm kind of as needed in cardiology and pulmonology and just basically all the different specialties that we have. So I kind of bounce around all over the place, but I'm mostly focused on those kids who are coming in, getting new diagnoses, getting procedures done, having scary things happen to them, and working with them.
Some of those areas, you know, cardiology or heart issues in children, wow. Cancer in children, wow. And then, of course, there's type 1 diabetes, but which, of course, in my particular case, doesn't surprise me. I mean, I deal with that in life, but in my practice. But was there pulmonology there as well?
Yes, we have pulmonology, endocrinology, cardiology, neurology. We have PM&R, physical medicine and rehabilitation. We have nephrology. We have a lot of different specialists. We have a developmental clinic. We have surgery, pediatric surgery as well.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of your work is in the infusion center, you said, and just to reiterate, the infusion center means where the child has an IV, sometimes maybe an IV that stays in, a permanent IV for a long time.
Most of the oncology patients have central lines, which are, you know, kind of permanent access to their veins to give them their medication. But some of those are venous access ports where they still get a poke. So they get some numbing cream that they're in their chest. And usually they do fabulous and do great with those. Some kids have tubes that extend out of their body, so it's not painful getting their infusions by any means. Some are getting peripheral IVs in their arms. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a wide range. Our infusion center is also where we do sedation procedures. So a lot of the leukemia patients, for example, have to get spinal taps and bone marrows done, and that's all done under sedation.
Spinal tap is where
intensivist who helps helps with those.
Let me just, for the listeners, spinal tap means a needle into the area around the spinal cord to get fluid out to be tested.
Exactly, and testing it for cancer cells. And then they, as well, they at the same time, they put chemotherapy in there, into the spine, and then that will circulate around their brain and spinal cord and help keep the cancer cells away.
Gotcha.
It's very important part of their treatment, but can be very scary for some kids going through that.
Are you kidding me? And then, you know, just hearing that the word, a needle going to the outside, the sac outside, just outside my spinal cord, you know, I don't know, maybe a younger child, that wouldn't freak them out, but it freaks
older
adults
kids,
out.
It tends to be a little scarier, and it's a thought of what's going to happen, but they are very well medicated and prepared and sedated, and they're very, very comfortable. Their parents stay with them the whole time if they choose.
Good.
Some parents stay just till they fall asleep. And we have toys and games and music, and we try to keep the environment very normal and keep the medical stuff kind of out of sight.
Good. And there's you and your coworkers in charge of that stuff.
Exactly.
For the child.
That's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to kind of translate to them what's happening in ways that they can understand. And we're also teaching them how to cope. We're teaching them coping skills that they can take with them and use if we're not there. We teach them relaxation techniques and deep breathing and guided imagery and things to help them reduce pain and anxiety.
Great, great. I'm going to ask you to expand your child life specialty to adults, please.
And we get that request a lot. And actually, sometimes child life specialists will actually work with children of adults who are dying, because part of the role as a child life specialist is to do palliative care and end-of-life care. So if a parent is dying, we sometimes have the opportunity to work with the children of those parents and help them understand what's happening and provide support and help do memory-making activities with them.
Wow, thank goodness you're there in that setting.
Yeah.
Wow. And there you the end of life you brought up. So, you know, we physicians and we, the general public, the listeners, we think about cancer, for instance. And I know we think about two things, at least two things come to my mind. Number one, the treatments, and the treatments can be sometimes not very much fun. And then, and then the second thing, of course, to think about is death, the possibility of death. And, and so, since I brought up the death word, so am I correct that, and we're talking children here, am I correct that that you deal with children who indeed are dying and will die?
Absolutely, absolutely. Fortunately, most kids do survive their disease, and most kids.
Can you say that one more time?
Are going to be okay.
Say that one more time for the listeners.
Most kids. What I was saying was most kids do survive their cancer. We treat a lot of kids with cancer. Most of them do survive and will go on to grow up and lead a normal life. So we try to focus on all those positive experiences.
Good.
But sadly, kids do die every year, and that can't, you know, that can't be helped. So we provide, as a child life specialist, depending on the age of the child, you know, we help them process that. I've had children that I've worked with as young as maybe 7 or 8 years old almost write a will of some sort, to, you know, writing down who they want to get certain things and talking about where they're going and asking questions about that. And we do memory-making activities with the kids and families, especially if they're siblings. Sometimes we'll put, like, their handprints in a garden stone so that they can be memorialized. So there's different things like that that we do together. And, you know, scrapbooks. There's all kinds of activities we do. But the bottom line is we help support that child through that process and their family as well.
Right. I'm in thinking about this in the again, kind of a more geographical thought, where I was not only asking you to be available everywhere at all hospitals where there are children and outpatient in those kind of care settings, With that thought in mind, I'm just curious. Do other hospitals in areas that do not have a child life specialist for pediatrics consult you?
That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. Actually, we're very fortunate in our area, in the greater Sacramento area. Every hospital that does have pediatrics has a child life program.
Oh, good.
Some have some pretty big programs. Uh-huh. But we have consulted with, for example, our radiology oncology center, where some kids are going for radiation. Uh-huh. So I went there and I took pictures of a patient going through that process and made a book so we could use that to prepare them so they would know what to expect when they went there. And I also worked with the staff on making the environment child-friendly, the rooms that they were going to be going to, and teaching them how to work appropriately with kids of different ages.
Uh-huh. And was that not in your Kaiser Roseville site?
It was. It was not on our site. It was about 10 minutes away from the oncology center.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've also worked with outlying general pediatric clinics because, typically they don't have child life.
Yeah.
So sorry.
No problem.
But typically we help teach them how to work with kids.
Yeah, that's really the...
Sorry.
That's really the thought I had, too, is... you know, your specialty is quite useful, and being available to others in the larger geographical area, say the Northern California, to help in a consultation fashion, an advice fashion, would be excellent. I tell you what, let's take a little music break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. So stay on the phone, Tammy. Stay on the phone.
Okay, will do.
This is Dr. Ken Logan, and you're listening to The Doctor's Inn on KZFR 90.1 FM radio, community radio. We're talking today with Cammy Woodward, who is a child life specialist, and she works in the Roseville area with Kaiser, outpatient, that is in clinic, and hospital. Actually, she works outpatient, I believe she said. But nonetheless, there are child life specialists in the hospital as well. And are you still there, Cammy?
I sure am.
Excellent. Hey, was there anything you wanted to follow up on to discuss? Or can I throw another question or two at you?
Go ahead and throw out the questions.
Before our interview is over today, I want us to talk a little bit about the camp system, or the camps, I should say, plural, for the children with cancer and the families with cancer and the siblings of family members who have cancer in your Kaiser system, and other kids are able to participate in that as well. So I want to hear a little bit more about that, or about that for the listeners in a few minutes. But before I wanted to have you. You mentioned something relative to cancer treatment. By the way, listeners, Cami uses the word oncology clinic, and oncology is cancer. It's synonymous for cancer. So cancer or oncology treatments. And you talked about the infusion center. You work in the infusion center often, outpatient wise. An infusion meaning that there's an IV or an intravenous line, and the child is receiving chemotherapy or medications to help with get rid of the cancer as best possible by vein, and sometimes the IV is what you call a central line, which is an IV, an access to intravenous site that stays on the child long term, and then is utilized each time the child comes in for treatment, or sometimes there are other IV sites, such as like when you get a little IV in your arm and that kind of thing. So it's a variety there. But something I wanted us, myself and the listeners, to get a feel for was when you're talking about in this case children and cancer treatment and infusions, can you give us a flavor for how many times, how much time does that take, and what do you see in the kids relative to side effects? And you already talked a bit about the fear, including in the maybe in the siblings and all. Can you give us a feel for what that looks like for the kids who are coming in for infusion?
Depending on the type of cancer that they have, mm-hmm. their treatment can be very, very different. Some mm-hmm. kids have very short treatments, maybe a couple of months long, and mm-hmm. some kids can be about 3 years long if they have leukemia.
Okay,
there's a big range.
And the range you just said was 2 months maybe on a certain kind of cancers and maybe 3 years on some of the longer treatment cancers.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the intensity as well is going to be different based on, we call it roadmaps, kind of basically their treatment plans. Mm-hmm. So when you're diagnosed with a certain kind of cancer, you're going to have a specific treatment plan, and you're going to, each week is going to look different, and you're going to have very specific medications you get. So some kids will have periods where they're there 5 days in a row getting treatment, and then maybe they have a week off, and then they're back the next week. Some might just come once a week. And then some of the leukemia patients, which is a blood cancer, after they get through the initial part, the initial first couple of months are very intense, mm-hmm. but then they get to a phase called maintenance where they are only coming once a month, which is pretty nice. So they're going to school at that point and leading a much more normal life.
Gotcha. So a wide variety. And when they come in, for instance, let's take a child with, let's take leukemia. Let's take those first intense couple months of infusion or intravenous treatments. Give us a flavor of how long they're in the site, in the center getting treatment each time.
Upon diagnosis, mm-hmm. usually they're hospitalized for the first couple of weeks as they're starting their treatment. Mm-hmm. And then they move to outpatient. And when they come, often once a week, they're getting a sedation procedure where they're getting a spinal tap, a lumbar puncture like we were talking about, or bone marrow aspiration. They're getting that done often on a weekly basis at the beginning, mm-hmm. which is pretty challenging. And they're also getting a lot of chemotherapy and medications to help counteract the side effects. Mm-hmm. But also what happens when you're on chemotherapy are your counts will get low, your blood counts. And sometimes they need blood support, transfusions. So then they're coming extra times to get those, to get red blood cells and to get platelets and things to support them and keep them healthy. And and their body is able to handle the medications that they're receiving. So those, you know, that initial phase is pretty tough, but kids typically do pretty well. Mm-hmm. Kids don't have the preconceived notions that adults have about cancer. Uh-huh. Now, older kids, teenagers, they've heard more about it, mm-hmm. and they tend to be the ones who sleep more and to kind of get through it and block things out and have a little harder time. Mm-hmm. Little kids, young kids, toddlers, they run around, they have their IV pole with them, they're riding little bikes through our playroom, they're playing with toys and blowing bubbles, and you would never know that they're getting chemo at the same time. It's pretty amazing.
And you made me think of another thing. In a child that's let's say that has leukemia, that's undergoing some treatment over a a longer period of time, maybe up to 3 years initially for the first couple months, I think you said, more intense and more regularly needing these infusions and treatments, but later on less often. But what about school? Let's take those leukemia children with leukemia, what happens with their schooling?
That's a great question. When they're in that intense phase, they're too sick and in the medical setting too much to attend school. So
Makes sense.
Basically a form of homeschooling, which is a home hospital program where a teacher from their school district where they attend will come once a week and meet with them.
Wow.
And then they can kind of do their work to keep up with their particular class.
Great.
And they as they're feeling up to it, they do as much as they can. Typically, the kids can kind of stay on target and return right to their classroom, which is pretty amazing.
Wow. That's good to hear.
Huh. Yeah. Because school is important. We try, if they're feeling, as long as they're physically able to do the work, we want to encourage that. We want them to do their normal activities and have social, socialization with other kids. There's a great program we refer school-age kids to called Monkey in My Chair, where they have a stuffed monkey who sits in their desk at school to remind the kids that that desk is being reserved for that child who's not there.
He or she's sick. Coming back. Yeah, she's coming back to the school. So
exactly. And they can write notes back and forth. And sometimes with modern technology, they're even FaceTiming the kids at home.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just made me think of another thing. For instance, I was thinking again about the leukemia, a child who may be quite involved with more intense and more treatment, more often-iness done for 2 or 3 months.
Right.
What about the siblings? What if they're little kids? And do siblings hang out quite often with them during these times in the hospital? Or how does...
Yeah, they typically do. It kind of depends on the family and the family situation.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it a little more stressful at times for parents to have to take care of the siblings and the sick child.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So sometimes they have extended family who watch siblings, especially in the earlier phases when the child's not feeling as well.
Like at home,
you mean?
So we
have many, many families who bring all the siblings, and they play, and they usually love to come. Actually, to be honest, most of our kids love to come. Sometimes the kids cry when they have to leave because they have so much fun when we're there.
Oh, wow.
So I'd like to think we're doing something right.
Yeah, and so you have things to help keep the siblings entertained or busy while they're there as well, I would think.
We do. We allow them to do all the same activities basically that the child does. And we have movies and video games, lots of arts and crafts and puzzles and board games and toys.
Good.
We have a huge range of things for kids of all ages to do.
Great. And then I'm kind of morphing a little bit. I just thinking of ideas as I go, as you speak. And the next thought in my brain had to do with the parents. And, I am a parent of two boys. And me thinking about how it would be in our life if, when they were little, they had a cancer that required repetitive treatments and the side effects that go with that and the scaredness and the worry by me and maybe them about how they're going to do and hopefully they'll survive or not.
Right.
I think about the parents of the children that you are helping. Are there Are there groups of support groups, I guess you could call it, or ways of getting the parents together and for talking and stuff?
We don't have formal support groups at our facility. Uh-huh. It's kind of it's been tried, and it's hard because people sometimes don't want to come back when they don't have to be there. But we do. The patients really get to know each other. So kids, both who are in the hospital and in the infusion center, will really form close relationships with other families.
Okay.
And a lot of people post their stories on Facebook and different social media now. Uh-huh. So they follow their stories online. They see them and visit with them. And especially for the parents, I see it being so beneficial. So, these parents are going through the same thing, so they can share those experiences and learn from each other.
So that's a support group right there you just defined.
It
especially
is.
With
it's
the
just informal. Correct.
Informal, and now with social media being what it is. And I think that's great, and that's wonderful, the connections that can come from that interaction through your facility, through what you do, and then they link up and continue with connecting with each other. Social media, yeah, that's great. And I know, you know, you indicated that sometimes it's difficult to, you know, when you think about support groups for parents, and then you said something like, well, sometimes it's hard to get them to commit to that. And I think I totally understand what you're talking about for two reasons. Number one, hey, Dr. Logan, what are you thinking here? This is a busy family. This is a family with
absolutely
probably other children, number one. Number two, with a child with cancer, you think they got extra time to, like, huddle up for a support group piece of stuff somewhere at some time? I don't think so.
Exactly.
And so it's so wonderful that there are connections like you talk about, including in that the social media, for them to connect. And then the other thing the other thing that made me think of is with diabetes and my attempts in the past with to have support groups for things like parents of children. It's in the busy lives of parents with children, small children, number one, and number two, how busy it is when there's a child with a chronic medical condition. It just you go from busy to mega busy,
and exactly.
So it just doesn't. Support groups just don't fit into that plan. But God, I love
they
you know,
are challenging. In some of our departments, like our diabetes, for example, we do fit a quarterly support group in as part of they come for a comprehensive visit. So it's part of that.
That's a good way
we'll
to do it.
And separate the parents and kids, and I'll work with the kids. And we have a social worker work with the adults. And that's a very routine, regular kind of a schedule. Kids, the oncology kids, they don't have routine, regular schedules, so that makes it a lot harder. So we kind of just keep it to the informal families gathering together who are there and finding support for each other. And there's also many, many organizations out there that I help link them to that provide support to them. Organizations like Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Make-A-Wish.
All the oncologies are eligible to get a wish.
Yeah, Make-A-Wish Foundation. I forgot about that. Tell us a little bit about camp or camps that are available for children through, you know, that you can link them with relative to cancer and for the children with cancer and for parents and for siblings. What is available?
The camp that we do for the oncology patients for the children with cancer is Camp Okaizu. And that camp
How do you spell
is
Okaizu?
An amazing organization
I'm jumping in. Okaizu. I just wanted you to spell that for the listeners.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's O-K-I-Z-U.
O-K-I-Z-U. Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
go
ahead.
The Okaizu Foundation. So they have every summer for 3 weeks in a row, they'll have a week-long camp for children who currently have cancer or have been cured of their cancer or in remission. They can go until they're 18 every summer. And they also have several weeks of siblings camp. So the siblings of those oncology patients get to come, and they get to meet other siblings who've gone and shared experiences as well. And they have family camp weekends. So that's a great time for kids who maybe are too young to go by themselves for summer camp. Mm-hmm. And maybe they are of age, but it's a great time for the family to go and have those fun camp experiences together. There's a little support group for parents one of the mornings, but lots of activities for the kids to do with their parents and to do with counselors and to get the real camp experience. So and they kind of have the whole picture.
I think that's such a wonderful idea and entity, the camp experience. And I'm involved with diabetes camp up here in Northern California. And the idea that it makes you think of with these children and their families and siblings is it's a way for... You know, in a minute ago, we were talking about, the busyness of life and getting parents together for support groups and, right. and even families, the whole family together for support groups and how difficult it is. But if you come to a camp where it's just, like you said, a weekend or family camp.
Right. Only a couple of days of their time.
Yeah.
Exactly, and it's so meaningful for the patients. When the kids go to summer camp by themselves, they come back so rejuvenated with new friends, a million friendship bracelets, a new outlook on life, so happy. And then when they come back from family camp, the parents and kids feel the same way. Even after just a couple of days, they're still immersed in that experience and the camaraderie and the support that they get there that they can't find anywhere else.
Support. Just right there, friendships, and it's not on a computer either. It's human to human.
So exactly,
it's a great idea.
Interpersonal experiences. It's amazing.
Oh yeah. Now, and I just want the listeners to know that Okizu, OKIZU, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Camps for children. Siblings, families, they're all available with cancer, for the children with cancer families. You said 3 weeks throughout the summer, but it is the camp itself is not 3 weeks. That 3 weeks is
three individual weeks, exactly.
Three individual
weeks.
And
typically kids will pick week one, week two, week three, and go with the same group of kids. They like to kind of keep it the same and they get to
year after year.
Each year.
Oh, I see. And then the family camp, you said, is a weekend or
that
weekends.
That is a weekend, and they have family camp weekends that start in the spring and go late into the fall.
Oh,
and they
wow.
They have a few that focus on Spanish-speaking families.
Oh.
They have a few for bereavement, for families who have lost their child.
Uh-huh.
And they even have programs for teens and 20s. So when kids kind of age out of that and they turn 18 up into the age of 25, I believe, they have their own kind of young adult programs. And they sometimes do a snowboarding trip. I believe they're going to go to Yosemite. And they, you know, have different experiences and still walk that journey together.
And can you please let us know, do you have contact information available for families who may want to connect or find out more about the Okizu camps?
Absolutely. They have a fabulous website. It's okizu.org, OKIZU.org, and it lists all their programs with great pictures and great information about each program, has all the dates, and you can actually apply right there online. And their camps, I should have mentioned, are actually all free of charge.
So... there's a couple things there I want to restate and again just so the listeners can know. And so a website, very simple name on the website is okizu.org. So Okizu, OKIZU.org. All the information is there about the array of camps. And then
right.
The second thing you said that I think is very important for these people, for the listeners to hear about these Okizu camps that are available, is you said, I was going to say you said the F word, but what's the F word you said? Free.
Oh, I said free. The best F word there is.
The only F
for
word.
These families, they rely on donations, and that's how they support their camps.
That is unbelievable to me. I mean, this is a significant camp experience, and it's free to those who apply to come to the camp. That is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and then absolutely.
The third thing I wanted to say, so the listeners will know, this is a camp area that is purchased. I assume it's a nonprofit foundation that has purchased this camp place area. And what town is that relatively near?
Kind of outside of the Marysville area, in the mountains. You go off the 99 and you head east, I believe, from there.
Yeah, east.
And all of a sudden, before you know it, the scenery becomes beautiful, and they have an absolutely amazing permanent camp that they own that has a bunch of cabins for all the kids. They have a lake for fishing for swimming. They have a huge lodge where they have group activities and dances, and they eat all their meals. So absolutely incredible facility.
And relatively near Oroville, is that correct?
Yes.
So
not far from you.
Exactly. What I was going to say is, you know, for the listeners possibly listening to this show, it's just right up there outside of Oroville or near Oroville, but up in the high country.
Exactly.
In the high country.
Their office is based out of Novato.
Gotcha.
But their camp is further out.
So when the listeners, if a family of who has a child with cancer and may want to be involved with the camps, okaizu.org, and they are free and they are located near us. They're outside of Oroville. This is a permanent campsite owned by a foundation. It's a great thing. Great to hear.
Absolutely.
I'm involved with a diabetes camp in further north and near Mount Lassen.
Great.
The one of the differences in this camp is this camp is free, number one, to the
right. So,
and this camp has multiple or various options, such as family, such as child themselves, such as siblings, and such as bereavement.
Exactly.
And then Spanish, some of the Spanish-speaking, some of the camps.
Right. And they do at every single camp, they have medical staff available. So parents, when they're leaving their children for that week, they can know there's going to be a doctor on site and there's going to be some nurses to help keep them safe and provide their care.
You bet. I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to go and be a counselor at one of them on Labor Day weekend.
Oh, that's great.
It will be an amazing
experience for you.
Yeah, it'll be great. So you listeners, I'll let you know about it later.
You got to report back.
Cammy, I wanted you to know that you and I had communicated earlier that we might have a pediatric oncologist from Kaiser on the show, but that hasn't worked out today. So, So you and I have a couple more minutes here. So, any final kind of tying loose endsiness up that you want to talk about?
I just think it's important for parents to understand that our profession exists. So if their child is having to have surgery or be admitted to a hospital or have, you know, life-changing medical diagnosis, to ask for the help of a child life specialist to help support their child and their family and adapt to their new normal.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people don't know that this is out there and that's an option.
I totally agree with you. Most people don't, especially away from your geographical area. And I'm going to say it one more time, that your specialty is child life specialist.
And correct.
What a great profession. I suspect, I don't know you personally, but I would say, oh man, that has got to be an inside of you rewarding job.
It really is. Tough job, but rewarding. It's so rewarding every day. You know, that feeling that you actually helped somebody, you helped a child, you helped make their tough day easier is, you know, that's the best thing that you can do. And that makes me go back the next day. And I focus on those positive experiences. So when we have some of those sad days, you know, you can keep moving forward.
Yes, and we still have a couple more minutes. I wanted to just branch out just a little bit, and you had talked about, I just wanted the listeners to hear again, child life specialists, you know, to help children through these experiences and family and siblings through these experiences that come up medically and psychologically in their lives. Included in that were for children who, like you said, are requiring some kind of procedure or surgery. Sometimes that can be a kind of a scary thing, and it, like you said, it's so great to before the procedure, well ahead of time before the procedure, spending time with someone like yourself, a child life specialist, to learn.
Right. Because we can show them pictures of the things that they're going to see and experience before they fall asleep.
Yeah.
We can teach them about the IV, the mask that they're going to breathe through, everything basically that they'll see and be aware of, we explain to them. And then it's not a new thing. They know what it's for, and it's a lot less scary. When kids have that power of knowledge, they cope much, much better.
I think it needs to happen every time. Everywhere there is a child having
Absolutely.
Those things. Another thing you mentioned, and then I'll soon let you go, but the other specialty clinics that you talked about, and one I just wanted to ask you just a little bit more about, it was the neurology. Did you say a neurology session?
Yes, we have several neurologists.
And what just
off... kids with a variety of disorders, things mm-hmm. like muscular dystrophy.
Okay.
Sometimes a rare disorder, and oftentimes headaches. That's something that I get involved with, is working with the kids with chronic headaches, and I teach them pain management skills to use, maybe in conjunction with medication, but to help to reduce their pain. So that's kind of my role in that department.
Right. And are some of the kids, I suppose they would be under oncology or pseudo-oncology, you know, brain tumors too, I suspect would be.
Exactly. Yeah, there. Those fall under the oncology department as well. But a lot of the kids who come to our clinic actually see providers in different departments. So
might
have a brain tumor, so they see the oncologist, but they also see the neurologist. They might have cardiac complications from their treatment, so then they see the cardiology department or endocrinology department. So, or sometimes just based on their diseases, they're, you know, multi-system diseases where they're seeing different providers. So our clinic works hard to try to coordinate those visits, so they're coming one time, they can see multiple providers.
And that's
we even have a psychologist on site that they can see. So we try to cover the whole big picture.
Yeah, and helping coordinate this multifaceted things that they're going through, including doctor visits, another great part of your work you do. So Cammie Woodward working in Roseville, California, the Kaiser system, as a child life specialist. A child life specialist. So great to talk with you, Cammie, and hear about your profession.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And there may be some time in the future I may try to get you back on this show if you're game.
Sounds good. Anytime. I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me tonight.
Sure. Thanks again. You take care.
Great. You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
And I want you listeners to know that the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Vitamin Fox, purveyors of pharmaceutical-grade nutraceuticals, Chinese Ayurvedic medicines, plus a wide variety of CBD oils. The Vitamin Fox offers midwifery, insemination, Rolfing, massage and acupuncture services to the greater Chico community. The Vitamin Fox can also craft a creative solution to help cope with your specific needs by calling 345-9685 and by Burchard Construction, specializing in custom remodels, new home and commercial building from foundation to finish work. Burchard Construction
where the homeowner's input matters to ensure a professional, reliable, and quality result. Custom construction with beauty and function. For bids and consultations, call Adam Burchard at 864-5427 or visit Burchard, and that's B-I-R-C-H-A-R-D, burchardconstruction.com. Thank you for listening. You can hear me again if you want, 1 month from today, third Thursday of the month, 6 to 7, The Doctor's Inn. Stay tuned for Beatle Nation.
To be filled,
I don't need no doctor. I don't need no doctor.
I don't need no doctor, Lord, or prescription to be filled.
I don't need no doctor.
I don't
need no doctor.
All in my baby's arms, could take away these chills.
One, two, three, four. One, two.